Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity, your online wisdom school for the enrichment of your soul. Live life more abundantly and in the full richness of your divine essence. And now, your host, Dr. Reggie and Cynthia Dunn.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. Hi, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
I'm great, Cynthia. How are you, baby?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Listen, I just want to tell everybody that we so appreciate their prayers and their best wishes for you.
Thank you.
You know, you kind of went through your little thing here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really just needed some rest.
A five-day hospital vacation.
It was more than 5 days.
Was it really?
Yeah. I think it was about 8.
Wow.
Wow. It was. It was much longer than we anticipated. But you're doing well now?
Yeah, I am. Much better. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. So we've been away for a minute, but we're back in the throw of things. Back in the saddle, Dr. Reggie said. And so we don't know what the plan is at this point, do we? Our goal is to try to pre-record our lessons now because our schedule is so hectic. And we wanted to make sure that we had our lessons online for you. And as we continue this magnificent journey that we call life, right,
mm-hmm.
and our spiritual development. And, of course, we are in a very interesting and exciting book study, which is called The Complete Ascension Manual, How to Achieve Ascension in This Lifetime. All right, and that's by Dr. Joshua David Stone. So we left off where we were talking about glamour and illusion. We've been away for so long, Dr. Reggie. What do you think is the best way that we should move forward?
Go forward with the lesson.
Okay.
Just because the Holy Spirit will lead you.
All righty.
I trust that.
Okay. So we now have a new mantra that we say in the morning as Dr. Reggie takes us into our morning prayer. So I want you to get centered. Take a deep breath in. I am the soul.
I am the soul.
I am the light divine.
I am the light divine.
I am love.
I am love.
I am will.
I am will.
I am fixed design.
I am fixed design.
I am the soul.
I am the soul.
I am the light divine.
I am the light divine.
I am love.
I am love.
I am will.
I am will.
I am fixed design.
I am fixed design.
I am the soul.
I am the soul.
I am the light divine.
I am the light divine.
I am love.
I am love.
I am will.
I am will.
I am fixed design.
I am fixed design. Amen. Heavenly Father and Mother God and Goddess, we thank you for the balance of life, giving us internal wisdom by the power and the majestic energy and vibration of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for leading us in the right path and directing our journey in this thing called life. Thank you for the vibration in this dimension that you're always present with us and sending angels, your secret agents, to help us on the invisible level and giving us abundance and richness beyond our imaginations and beyond our dreams. We thank you for anything being possible and the magic of the Holy Spirit's wisdom in our lives. Let us impart that wisdom to others as we do circles of prosperity. Let us be prosperous and give that prosperity to others. We believe it is so in the power and the majestic energy of the Ascended Master Jesus. And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Wow. You know, when we say that mantra, it just set the tone. It's just amazing.
It really is.
It really is amazing. So I really don't know where to pick up.
Yes, you don't say that.
Okay. It's been so long. But, you know, I don't think we talked about archetypes. And
no, not yet. That's where we want to go next.
Yeah. He really, so I'm going to start with this little summary that he gave. Remember we talked about the dweller on the threshold and the angel of the presence?
Mm.
And how he says that when we, as initiates, we are the dweller on the threshold. We're standing at the door. We're standing at the precipice of this shift into a higher consciousness.
Amen.
And the way we cross over is by spiritualizing our negative ego. And he said, he gave us the image of the angel of the presence, that negative ego is burned away by the light of this angel of the presence, the glory of the presence. I love that. So he says, the disciple who's on the path of probation and initiation, you have three main tasks in getting rid of glamour, illusion, and Maya, which we talked about. That's where we left off. And the dweller on the threshold. In other words, these are the things that you need to accomplish to get to the next level. Number one, you must be able to distinguish the three distinct levels of distortion to discover what conditions in the environment or in the individual constitution cause these aspects to develop, and then to find out what methods are effective in obtaining mastery over their combined effect. Each person has the ability to discover within himself or herself which form of his own dweller on the threshold assumes. And the key to this is to become more deeply aware of whether one is a physical, emotional, or a mental type, or a combination of any two, or maybe even all three. So he's saying that he suggests that you really do a careful study of the first three levels of initiation in Dwaj Kuhl's book, The Initiation, Human and Solar by Alice Bailey. He also suggests that you do a careful study of the Alice Bailey book, Glamour, A World Problem. He says a final entry that he wants to give you in this chapter is to add three pieces of information that he stumbled upon in his research. We've been talking about the distortion factor in the three levels of our being, our mental body, our emotional body, and our etheric. The etheric body is intimately related to the physical body. And within the physical body, there are inherited instincts. So when we think of the term instincts, we usually think about animals having them, but not so much about human beings having them.
Mm.
What Dwaj Kuhl has said in his writing, he's given a detailed study of what the animal, the human, and the divine instincts are. And we're going to talk about those later for your further study and your meditation and your contemplation. But he finds that the comparison of the three are very interesting. So the instincts within the animal, the human, and the divine kingdoms, that's what we're talking about, three kingdoms. In the animal kingdom, the instinct is self-preservation. That's the number one. The second one is sex. The third is this herd instinct, and the fourth is curiosity. On the human level, Dr. Reggie, our instinct is creativity and then self-preservation.
That makes more sense because we come from a creator.
Yes.
And we have the ability to create. Animals that deal with instinct are creating, but they're in their own herd. They flock together to do things together. That makes a lot of sense.
In community, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. Our desire is to do, is to create. We want to make things.
Yes.
We want to design things. We got all this creative energy.
Yes, we do.
And we're using that creative energy for our self-preservation.
Yes.
It feeds us.
Technology, for example.
Yes.
How, over the years, how it always developed better and better each time.
Yes, to make our lives
easier. To make our life easier.
Yes.
And improve the quality of our life.
The second thing that comes up for us, our second instinct, is sex and human love.
Yes.
And the third is gregariousness. And then we have, the fourth is inquiry. Oh, analysis and self-assertion.
Mm.
We're looking at things. We're studying things.
And creating.
And creating, yes. Then here's the last one, and this is where we're going, right? This is the divine kingdom.
Mm.
The number one thing is immortality. You know, and secretly, I think we all are seeking that, aren't we?
We are, because we're always trying to figure out about the process of longevity and keeping this body in the physical form as long as we can. No one really wants to die. That's what we talk about, the animal instinct. It's self-preservation. They want to live, too. They always escape death or an enemy or a predator that's coming to harm them. And they want to live and escape. We, as human beings, have a powerful creative power and a wonderful instinct built in our souls by the Holy Spirit to move and live how we're being in the Christ consciousness. We can live as long as we want to in these bodies. If we get sick, we learn to deal with that sickness and to overcome that sickness eventually. But we do want to preserve our bodies as long as we can. And there's nothing wrong with that. People have lived to be hundreds of years old. I've seen that before. In the Himalayas and places like that. And even in this country, the guy celebrated yesterday his 104th birthday. He was vibrant and happy. He didn't seem like a quote-unquote old person.
Yeah, he was a Tuskegee Airman, right?
Tuskegee Airman, right. Yeah. He celebrated his 104th birthday.
Isn't that fabulous?
That's amazing.
But immortality, we are, the soul is immortal.
Yes, it is, already.
The soul is immortal.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no beginning, no end.
That's right.
But we're so married to the physical body.
Oh my God!
But a lot of your work may not be able to be accomplished
in one lifetime.
In one lifetime or in this physical body.
Right.
And so we should really welcome the chance to evolve or
mm-hmm.
to ascend
mm-hmm.
outside of the body as well.
Exactly.
The divine kingdom. The number one thing is immortality. The second is attraction. And I find this very interesting because the law of attraction is a movement now
mm-hmm.
In this physical plane. It has become a major, major movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the second instinct on the divine level.
Mm-hmm.
So I can really see where they're taking us into a higher level of consciousness.
Absolutely. And the soul attracts.
Yes. Even though people are dealing with the law of attraction on different levels, the fact that it is so, that information is out there and available to so many, your consciousness is going to be raised. The third element or the third instinct is group consciousness.
Hmm.
And what I notice is any channeled work, they always say we. It's never one person.
That's right.
It's we. Even in the Bible, in the Genesis story, it says,
let us create man.
Yes.
Let us. Now, who is the us?
Who is the us? Okay.
One person speaking.
It's group consciousness.
That's right.
And then the fourth instinct is evolutionary urge.
Yeah.
We want to grow. We want to
evolve.
He is moving on now into the archetypes, and I know this is your favorite topic.
Mm-hmm.
He says, another factor in becoming clear and free from glamour illusion and Maya is the understanding of archetypes. If I am not mistaken, this was a term that was coined by the famous Swiss psychologist Carl Jung.
Yes.
And my dear friend, Marcia Dale Lopez, a spiritual teacher living in New York, has defined archetypes in a very clear and concise manner. And here's how she defines it. Archetypes are underlying mystic themes that can be found in all races and cultures at all times. The archetypes are ageless roles or key stereotypes that portray different forms of behavior. In other words, the archetypes are universal models or personifications of perennial themes. They can be identified as the main characters found in legends, found in fairy tales, Shakespearean dramas, and even Bible stories. But the following are 12 of the basic, most well-known archetypal forms. In my personal opinion, the purpose of these archetypes, as of any roles, is to play them if it is appropriate to one's life and spiritual path, and most of all, to play them consciously. Because the danger comes when these universal roles and these archetypes play the disciple instead of the disciple playing them. I love that. Mm-hmm. It's like you're going to become an actor. That's what he's asking you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Put on the cloak of an archetype. So let's look at some of these archetypes. And Dr. Reggie, you can expand on them. There's the destroyer.
Mm.
And
that's a part of the Hindu theology of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
Brahma, creator, Vishnu, the maintainer, Shiva, the destroyer, or the dissolver.
He says the destroyer is a change maker.
Yes.
See, that's not so much, change is not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
It's a change maker. It could be an enemy.
Yes.
Or a betrayer, or an evildoer, a mischief maker, the devil, the rascal, or a smart ass.
Right. True.
The fool. And a lot of these are in the tarot deck.
Yes, they are. In the tarot cards. The fool is, in fact, the fool is not a fool at all. The fool is a zero card. It has no number, no beginning, and no ending. And the fool is, they call, the God card, because it is no beginning and no ending.
Mm.
It's the explorer.
He says the fool can take the form of a risk taker,
mm-hmm.
a clown, a flake.
That's right.
A lunatic, a madman.
It's true.
A mad woman, a philanderer, a scatterbrain.
Yeah.
How about innocent?
Now, that's not in the car, but it's a part of the food.
It is part
of it.
The innocent can be an artist or child or youth, harmless one, a lover, a trusted one, or a wanderer.
Yes.
Then he has the magician.
I love that card.
I know that's your favorite. And look how he said, oh, that's like your fairy godmother,
mm-hmm.
or Merlin, or priest, or priestess, the shaman. The sorcerer,
that's right.
The trickster,
yes.
The warlock, the witch, and the wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the martyr. That's a great soul, or a saint, or a savior, a loser, or a struggler, or an unfortunate victim. I'm finding that he is finding the polarity, the dual polarity
of each one of these.
One where we would say it was a more positive and the other side more negative. What about the patriarch, the ancestor, the father, the mother, the old one, the great father, the great mother, and the ruler, who could be the aristocrat, the emperor, the empress, the judge, the prince, the princess, the queen, the king, the superior, the seducer, the seeker, the servant, the warrior, the wise one. It goes on and on. You can find this list on page 69 of the book. He says the second point is that the danger of living out one particular archetype that might make one psychologically imbalanced, and this can be a type of glamour of the opposite of which I spoke earlier in this chapter. For example, a person may live out the martyr archetype. However, one of his spiritual lessons might also be to learn to be spiritually selfish. Many people find themselves identifying with a large number of these archetypes. How many of you are resonating with more than one of these archetypes? I'm resonating with the seeker, the adventurer, the explorer, the hermit, the hunter, the monk. I'm really seeking, and I'm trying to find where my comfort level lies.
I identify with the magician.
Totally. Mm-hmm. You do. You really do. But he said the bottom line is to let the guidance of your soul mm-hmm. and your monad lead you to the appropriate application of these universal states of consciousness. So you want to think about these things and meditate upon these 12 archetypes, okay? It can be a very interesting journey into your personal development. He is ending this chapter on glamour, illusion, and Maya with a discussion on psychic development and the senses. Just as each person has five physical senses, each person has five subtler senses that are spiritual counterparts to the five outer ones. There's a chart that's on page 71 that shows the progression of the senses and the super senses as one travels up the first five dimensions of reality. The lack of understanding of this is a source of great glamour in the psychological and spiritual field.
Wow.
He says that in his own development and progression on the spiritual path, it has been very interesting to have met people who are often extremely psychic and yet not spiritual.
That's true. I've seen that myself. I can't believe it, but it's true.
Yeah. And this has been hard for some people to understand. How can they be so psychically developed and yet not even believe in God? But the psychic senses are often coming from what Dwaj Kuhl has described as the astral senses. Mm-hmm. And many times people get stuck at this level. So another example might be a person who channels, but is channeling astral entities that aren't very evolved. So this chart, it presents a type of a map of some of the higher senses in the causal, the buddhic, or the atmic planes that many people may not be aware of. There is absolutely nothing wrong with developing your astral senses. It's just as important to use them in the context of the understanding that there are seven dimensions of reality and seven levels of sensory apparatus. So the chart depicts the first five dimensions of reality, taking one up to the doorway of ascension and or to the merger with the monadic plane. I could try to read this chart to you, but I'll try to interpret it for you here. First of all, I want you to realize that we're going to be working with five levels of reality. But he has six outlined here. The atmic senses. It has all knowledge, perfection, Realization, active service, beatitude is on the atmic plane. On the buddhic plane, you have your buddhic senses. And these are idealism and intuition and divine vision and healing and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
When you move into the astral or the emotional plane, you're talking about your higher mental senses. And those are your spiritual telepathy, your response to group vibration, and your spiritual discernment.
That's from the Holy Spirit.
Dr. Reggie, that's right. It does. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at the lower mental senses. Your lower mental senses is discrimination, your higher clairvoyance, your planetary psychometry. Define psychometry for us, Dr. Reggie.
Psychometry is the art of touching and picking up vibrations from touching an object or being in a room, sensing vibrations, and I rate them when I go into a room from 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
If the room, if people have been arguing in the room with discord, a lot of energy is discord, I say, oh my God, it's a 10. It's a very powerful evil energy. Or a room that's very powerful and holy with a lot of meditation, that's a 1. It's a beautiful energy and spiritual place that doesn't need to be spiritualized. But with psychometry, you normally touch objects and pick up information for the person who owns the objects.
So when he says planetary psychometry, he's talking about being in tune with where the planet is.
Yes.
It's not just a room, but it's the whole
thing. The entire thing.
The entire thing. So, and your higher clairaudience. I was recently told that they are working with me to develop my clairaudience. And really and truthfully, you know what this means? It means that you are hearing your soul and the desires of the soul and the direction of the soul, receiving your direction from your higher consciousness.
And the word clair, clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience, clair means clear in French.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about clairaudience, clear hearing,
beyond
your normal regular hearing. It's beyond that hearing. You're hearing what the spirits are telling you.
Now, the astral senses occur on the physical and etheric plane. And these senses are dealing with your emotional idealism. Think about it now. Your imagination, your clairvoyance, your ability to see clearly. Psychometry, your ability to feel. And clairaudience. So a lot of you that are just beginning to develop your psychic abilities, you're probably in this, on this plane, on this level. And then here we are now just at our physical senses where we can smell, taste, our sight, our touch and feeling, and our hearing. So he took us from the higher to the lower. And you know that, you know what just struck me, Dr. Renji?
What's that?
How we don't really relate to our senses as connected to our spiritual, the spiritual self. And our spiritual development.
Yeah, because we get so torn with this physical dimension.
We
don't realize that something higher.
Yeah. We really get, we get
caught up.
You know, exactly. I guess what I'm saying is that we need, when you're tasting and enjoying delicious food or when you hear music that delights your soul, there, you are really experiencing your soul.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to get you to see, that these senses evolve your soul.
Mm-hmm. They do.
And we stay so separate from it. We just get caught up in just the sense reality.
I go beyond. You made some delicious sausages the other day. Oh my God, you found me where to cook them, and it was fantastic. Melted in my mouth. I said, oh my God. I thought about that song, Food, Glorious Food, Hot Sausage and Mustard. It was just what I had. Oh my God, it was a religious experience.
It was a truly a religious experience.
So good.
They were good. I have learned the secret to pressure cooking.
Yes.
Meat, and oh my goodness, it's been something
melt
else.
Melt in your mouth.
Melt in your mouth. Well, you know what, Dr. Reggie?
Mm-hmm.
That closes that chapter, and I don't want to open up the next chapter.
No, not yet.
We're going to save that for tomorrow.
What is the next chapter?
Oh my goodness, it's a goodie. We're going to talk about death, dying, and the science of the bardo.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people fear death.
And they should not.
They should not. So I'm really looking forward to reaching this, getting into this chapter, because I think it's going to give us a different perspective on how to look at death or the transition.
Mm-hmm.
He opens it up by saying death and dying from the soul's perspective are quite different from the perspective of death of current Western thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to have an awakening.
Oh, yes.
We're definitely going to have an awakening. Dr. Reggie, can you go ahead and take us into our closing prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful and momentous, amazing lesson. Let us learn from this lesson. Let everybody learn not to fear anything on this planet. If you are with us and you're in us and you direct us and our souls, let us live life more abundantly. As Jesus said, he came to give us life and more abundantly as a way shore. Let us live in that upliftment and empowerment, and let us every day pray and contemplate and meditate on those things that are holy and rich in our spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you is what we say in appreciation for who we are and what we are becoming on a planetary and personal basis. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. God bless.